Will, turn in your Bible this morning to Joshua. You know what verse of scripture I'm going to preach on. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. I tell you what, preached on this many times in 33 years. And no matter what the world may say, fathers play an important role in the family. I tell you, they play an important role. Now, the devil is doing all he can in our society to destroy the homes, destroy the male dominant role of the dad in the home. Now, I had a wonderful dad. I tell you, my father was a music leader in Recklow Baptist Church, and I got to play the piano for him. And we were there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and every other time the church doors opened, we were there. He made sure we had four boys and one girl, and he made sure all four boys were there. Now, the devil knows without the father in the homes, there'll be a major chaos in raising your children and living those lives. Now, I thank God for all the single moms. I thank you. I pray for you. I know you have a job raising a family. Turn to God. Look to God. He's the one that can get you through all of these things. But today, we're going to celebrate Father's Day. I don't normally preach on too much on fathers or certain topics, but I want to do something for the fathers because we did something for the mothers. Amen? And now, I told the ladies who put this up here, those fishing lures were in danger of disappearing. That's an awful good-looking hat, too. It may just go away. But I appreciate those ladies that did that. They worked hard. Today is Father's Day, and no matter what Hollywood wants, we're going to celebrate the fathers here in this church. And like we said, we did Mother's Day. And sometimes, you know, I hear that we beat up on the fathers. They beat up on the fathers all week. You're at work and you're beat up on. Well, this morning I want you to know something. I appreciate you, and the Lord appreciates you, and I believe your children appreciate you, and your wife appreciates you. Someone asked, "What is Father's Day?" And I said, one little boy said, "Well, it's just like Mother's Day, except you don't get the present." That describes it pretty good, don't it? Just like Mother's Day, except you don't get a present. One little boy said, "You don't get as big as present," and the father said, "What present?" Well, listen, the Christian father is one of the least praised, unnoticed, and unappreciated heroes of all time. Look at this passage of scripture here in Joshua. Joshua 24, verse 15. The word of God says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you shall serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Joshua says these famous words, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for these fathers. Now, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit just touch us at the point of our need. I know there's men here that, Lord, they need a fresh touch this morning of your Spirit in their heart. Lord, I know there's families here this morning that need that fresh touch in their lives. And Lord, I thank you that this morning we'll be confronted with the Word of God. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will touch us at the point of our need. And Lord, we'll make the decision that we need to make for you. And God, we praise your name and give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want us to look at two qualifications here that Joshua possessed. And I believe we need to possess those this morning. One is leadership. Fathers, you need to be the leader. Joshua says there in this passage of Scripture, these famous words, "As for me." As for me. Joshua wanted the people to know where he stood. Folks, we need our fathers. We need our men to be leaders in the home. We need our children to know. I said I had a great father. I knew that he was a leader. I knew that he was going to stand up for what was right in God's sight, no matter what everybody else thought, no matter which way the world turned. My father was going to serve God. You can ask Rhonda. He was a wonderful man. He was the type of father everybody would want in their life. He prayed for his children. He took us to church. He was hard as nails on us sometimes, but he loved us unconditionally. I knew that no matter how hard of time I gave him, and I gave him a hard time, no matter how hard time those four boys, the daughter, you know, she never does nothing wrong. But no matter how us four boys, how hard a time we gave him, I knew at the end of the day, he still loved me. No matter what I did, no matter what situation I got into, I knew my father was going to love me. No matter if I turned against him, he was going to still love me. And folks, I appreciate it. Fathers, if your children know that you love them, tell them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're standing with God. Today we speak out and we want people to know about things that we believe in politically. We want people to know where we stand on all different kinds of different things that the world faces today. But where do we stand religiously? In our homes, where do we stand? Are you telling your children about God? Are you being that type of leader when it comes to God? You see, many times fathers just clam up. We say, "Oh, well, we don't need to talk about that today." No, let them know where you stand. I know my daddy prayed on every morning for his children. I got up early one morning and I walked in there and daddy was praying for us. And I just kind of backed off and I said, "Well, I didn't know he did that." And I asked mother, I said, "What was daddy praying for us for?" She said, "He does that every morning." Made a difference the way I looked at him. Made a difference in what I thought, you see. And so many times we're afraid we'll offend somebody. But people can't follow your leadership until they know where you stand. And Joshua said, "Listen, people, I know that God has brought us through all this thing we've faced. God has done that. And if it seems right for you to serve some other gods, well, you do that. But let me tell you where my family's going to stand. As for me," you know, it was refreshing to meet Joshua, who said, "I will serve God." I like it when I see somebody that just lets you know exactly where you stand with them. Amen? Somebody said, "Well, I tell you what, you're going to know where he stands. He'll tell you right up front." Well, that's the way I want to know. I don't want somebody to tell me something and then go and do something else. Man, if you don't like me, well, tell me. That's all right. I'd rather know you didn't like me than you say you did and didn't. And I think that's the way we all are. We want to know where we stand. And Joshua said, "Listen, I stand for God." Now, as we stand for the Lord on Father's Day, we need people to stand up with us. And he says, not only that, I stand for God. He says, my family, we will serve the Lord. And I think if you'd ask our families where we stood religiously, we would say, we serve God. Every single one in our house knew that mother loved the Lord, that father loved the Lord, and praise God, we all were saved growing up in life, and everyone is serving God today. Thank the Lord for the fathers who will say, I don't care what the world trends do. I don't care what the world does. My house and my family are going to know about God. They're going to stand for God. You see, what the world needs is men like Joshua who will lead their families in serving the Lord. There's a passage of Scripture that I read a lot of times at marriages. Almost said funerals, man. I tell you what, I always get a tickle when I say, tell the husbands, I want to read this at your funeral. And they said, we're getting married. I said, well, that's what I said. I want to read it. Maybe the only time you hear this, but in Ephesians, listen to what it says here. Fathers, I want you to listen to this. It says right here in Ephesians, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, and also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. And it says, listen to this, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, friends, let me tell you something. Wives, husband says, you know, man, I'm the head of the house. Well, you ought to be. But let me tell you, with the head of the house comes a big, big, big responsibility. If you're going to be the head of the house, you're going to have to make decisions in your house based on what's right for your family and right for your children. And listen, I'm not saying you're to make those decisions over your wife. I believe if a husband is going to lead, the wife will follow. If you will treat her like the queen that she ought to be in your life, you ought to hold her up. You ought to not say anything bad about her, but she ought to be something precious to you. And I believe that with all my heart. Man, we ought to love our wives. I don't know what I'd do without my wonderful wife. Man, I got backbone, I guess, but she's that secondary backbone. She's there supporting. And whatever I told the kids, I guarantee you, she backed them up. Let me tell you something. Wife, when your husband tells your children something, don't you go around him and let him do what he told them not to do. They'll play you like a drum, boy. Those kids will play you, but if a wife knows, and a wife and a husband know that they're going to back one another up, let me tell you something. I knew I wasn't going to get very far with my mother by going to her. She's going to say, what did your dad say? And I was, you didn't ask him, did you? No, I thought I'd go to you first. No. What does your dad say? Husbands, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. You treat him like a king, and he'll treat you like a queen. And both of you, love your children. Children, obey your father and mother. Now, the trend today is not so. But God's word says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. And I believe that if the husband is serving Christ like he should, and you're leading your family like you should, they won't have any trouble following you like they should. I believe Joshua's family was right with him. I believe Joshua knew his family was going to serve the Lord. How could he speak for them? How can he say, my family is going to serve the Lord? I believe he had so much trust in his family that he could say that. And I believe if you will serve one the Lord together, you know. Man, I tell you what. My mother and my father served God together. They were always at church together. Wherever you saw them, they were together. There were their children. Now, the husband is not a dictator who is never consults his wife. Man, I tell you what, if I want to know something right or wrong, I usually consult my wife. She's a good consulter. You know, love is caring as much about her welfare and her happiness as your own, guys. You can't love her too much. Love is looking towards the future together in the same direction, going together in life. Love is making those burdens lighter because you can divide them. Man, and my wife may tell you I don't divide those tasks, but she don't want me to wash clothes. She don't really want me to wash dishes. I break them things. But you ask her, I believe we share the load together. And love makes the joy of life more intense because you share those things as husband and wife together. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Man, I believe with all my heart, fathers, you are the head of the home. And on Judgment Day, guess what? You'll give an account of how you led your family in life. I believe that. And God doesn't make you the head because you're more important than the woman or you're smarter than the woman. You can forget about that. I guarantee you, men, I know a lot of you, and I know your wives. And now let's let sleeping dogs lie. As Perry says, I'll pull lever B on that one. Israel was God's chosen people, but it did not mean that he loved them more than he loved the Gentiles. You see, he loves all men. It simply means God chose one nation, and he, in his wisdom, chose Israel to be the nation which had to carry out his plan. There has to be a leader. Someone has to lead. And God chose in the home the father. He chose the father to make the decisions, to shepherd the people. He chose the pastor to lead the people. In every organization, there has to be someone to lead the way. Have you ever thought about it? We have a lot of school teachers we have here. Who leads the school? The superintendent, doesn't he? Somebody has to go to the top. In a marriage, he chose the husband. Now, Joshua was the head of the family, and he says, as for me. He didn't say, let me ask my wife first. He says, as for me and my house, as for me and my children, as for me and my family, we will serve God. Now, he was not only the leader. Joshua knew how to lead. Now, fathers, some of you need to learn this, how to lead. You see, the problem today is we're given responsibility and we turn it over to someone else. And in many cases, you turn leading your family over to your wife. And that's not bad, but you ought to still be the head and let your children know that you are responsible and for teaching them those things about God. I believe father is to teach his children. That's what the Old Testament says. They taught diligently their children over and over and over in their homes about Jesus Christ. And I believe if we're going to ever turn this the mess we're in today around, we're going to have to have fathers who serve God in leadership and know why they serve God and tell their children about God. That means setting up some old altars in your house. In Deuteronomy, it says, tell them diligently, teach them diligently. And I believe Joshua was one of those men who taught his family about God. Now, you shouldn't be ashamed to talk about God. I believe when you tell your children about God, you're simply doing what God has told you to do in the Word of God. You're teaching them. You're letting them know where you stand. He made sure. And I think, fathers, we need to make sure our family's saved. How do you do that? You're not going to do it by not taking them to church. You're not going to do it by not telling them about Jesus Christ. You're not going to do it by letting somebody else try to tell them. Well, preacher, we wanted you to tell them about the Lord. No, you tell them about the Lord. I'll be glad to talk with them. I'll be glad to help them out. But you tell them. You teach them. You know where I first learned about Jesus Christ? At home. I went to church every day, every Sunday, but I learned about Jesus at home. You know, I learned from my grandma. I learned from my grandpa about Jesus Christ. I can remember early parts of my life staying with my grandmother. She would come in and kneel by our bed and say, okay, before we go to sleep, we're going to say our prayers. That was something that we did every single time. At nighttime, before we went to bed, we would say our prayers. I learned that over the years. The last thing that you do before you fall off to sleep is to say your prayers. Pray. And it was obvious that as the scriptures that Joshua was the leader of his home. We're supposed to be the leaders. He had leadership there in his life. And this was his plan. We will serve God. There was a show back when I grew up. Some of you may remember this. Father Knows Best. How many of y'all remember that show? Oh, some of you are old as I am. That's good. Who was the actor there? Robert Young. All right, I'll tell you what. He always gave the advice that was best for his family. Man, I wish that Hollywood would portray that kind of fatherhood today. Times have changed, hasn't they? Well, when Joshua spoke, the family was united. The family was united. Now, this is where, like I said, mom comes in. You must unite together with your husband. His wife was always, whatever dad said, you ask him. And listen, children learn. Children learn from your father and mother. Now, it takes two parents working together for the glory of God. That's the plan in every family. Two working for the together of the glory of God. It takes a father who will raise the banner of Jesus Christ in his life for the salvation of his kids. Let me tell you something. It's important that you bring them to church. It's important that you see that they know about God. It's important to read the Bible to them. It's important. Those things are building a life. You don't build a building just overnight. It takes time. And when you study the Word of God, you see that He was willing to plant the seeds in their life. And they talk to one another every time. It takes years to raise a child in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They're going to make mistakes. I haven't seen any perfect children yet. You see? But as I started out, love your children unconditionally. They know, that you're willing to take time and give your children a Christian home. It takes time to do that. It takes a lot of time. Fathers, are you willing to take time with your children? I read about a little girl who went into her father's office, crawled up into his lap and said, "Dad, would you come and look at the picture I drew? And he said, "Not now, honey. I'm busy. I'll look later." You know, kids are persistent, aren't they? She came back in about an hour and she said, "Dad, would you come look at the picture that I drew?" He said, "Not now, honey. I am busy. I'll look later." Every hour, she was there. At every time, he said, "Not now, I'm busy, I'll look later." Well, at the end of the day, he hollered at her and said, "Honey, I'm ready to look at that picture." And he looks at the picture, and there's a picture of Mama, her, and the little boy. And he says, "Well, baby, where's your daddy?" She said, "You were too busy. You were somewhere else." Oh, let me tell you something. So many times, we're so busy that we leave our children out completely. Life is quick, isn't it? I tell you what, I'd give anything if I could sit down one more time with my dad and talk. Can't do that. He's gone. But oh, the joy that heaven will bring when I'm called home to meet him. We're going to sit down and talk a long time. He couldn't talk at the end of his life because he had Alzheimer's and didn't know anything. But oh, the wisdom that he had. And he sit down and take time. Now, I was a hunter and he was a hunter. And we went to hunting a lot. I thank God for every time he took me hunting. He could have said, "Well, I got to go up with the guys tonight and we're going to hunt." No, he said, "Janie, if the kids want to come with me, bring them on." And he always took, well, we had two boys, and then later on, 10 years later, he had two more boys. You know, I thank God for those times. Fathers, take time with your children. Love them. Spend time with them. 18 years goes by quick. And then they're on their own. They got families of their own doing their own thing. And it's so good to know that we still have fathers and sons that come to see their father on Father's Day. Isn't that wonderful? They come to see their fathers on Father's Day. I can't have mine with me today. One's on the other side of the world, and one's at his church today. But you know, I know that in just about 20 minutes, I'll probably have to buy him lunch. "What can I do for you today on Father's Day, Dad?" "I'll just come eat with me. You know, I've got everything I need. I just want their presence." That's all we need, just their presence. Fathers, be leaders. As for me and my house, the plan. Plan to be with them. Plan to serve God with your life. We will serve the Lord. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All you have to do is say, "Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want to be that leader. I want to know you." And he says, "Come." Come simply by faith, saying, "I want Christ. I want to serve him with my life. I want to commit my life to him." And you know what? That is the beginning of the greatest day and the greatest experience in your life when you're saved. If you don't know him, you come to trust him. If you do know him, and you hadn't been the leader of your family like you should have, then you get out on your knees and the altar and say, "Lord, today, make me the leader that I should be. Make me the leader I should be." If you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you, I'd be glad to have you part of this family. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for the fathers here. I thank you, Lord, as we have our invitation time. Lord, if someone's here that needs to make a decision, they'll come before it's too late. We give you praise, for it's in your precious name we ask. Amen.